Good morning, everybody. This is Scott Mitchell with Program. I think Theron said this is our 32nd show, which really is amazing. I work with the church down the road at El Bethel. Been there for, well, over a year and a half now, and been spending a lot of time just trying to get back to the Bible and what truth is and how to handle the truth and whether it matters or not, those kind of things. And I've got with me this morning Andrew Ulmer, who had to face a lot of those decisions coming to the truth. And we come from different backgrounds, but ended up somehow in the same spot. So we can talk about that as we go. But Andrew, why don't you introduce yourself, and we'll start this kind of whatever to wherever the discussion is going to go.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. Sure. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about this subject, which is, I feel, very important. Mm-hmm. I'm a member with Taylorsville Road Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. Took me 36 years to get there, but glad I finally got there. When I say 36 years, it took me 36 years to finally come to know the truth,
yeah,
and be saved through the grace of God. And I just had a lot of questions that I felt not getting answered.
Well, the people who have listened to me before know my background, but you know, I came from, I wasn't non-denominational or undenominational. I was like unchurched. There was nothing in my body. I had no baggage. I had religious baggage to put down, none of that stuff. So I know you said you were talking before the show. Where did you start your kind of walk, and what church were you a member of before, or where did you go before? And then you said you kind of had no religion at all. We'll get to that too. But where did you start?
Well, it was an evangelical United Church of Christ.
Okay.
Before they made some radical changes, it was very traditional. They had choir and organ, and it followed a script.
Okay.
But so I had some knowledge, but I was born into that church, I believe, had the sprinkled baptism, and there was no baptism talk or really discussion there.
Okay.
But I went there for until it eventually closed down due to it was just very low attendance.
Okay.
And then it merged with another United Church of Christ.
Okay.
And went there for a little while, but I just wanted to find my own way, and I felt that the church was not the place for me.
Okay.
And
so you just left religion altogether?
That's right.
Okay.
And I went to the way of the world for quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
And wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's the way people are. That we all do, you know, we all have to grapple with that. So what caused, so I know you had a lot of questions. And did, when you were converted, were you a member of a denomination when you came into the church? After I met you, what was it, a year and a half ago or so at the park up in Palmyra?
At a picnic. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you come out of a denomination at that point?
What happened was, it's weird that the pastor there, he said if you really press the issue, it was really a Baptist church because it came out of a Baptist church planning organization, but it did not have a Baptist on the moniker.
But the teachings was basically Baptist, is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, we could say non-denominational, but he said if he really pressed it, which I was not comfortable with. I felt that was wrong. If it's going to be a Baptist church, it should say Baptist church,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes from a Baptist church planning.
Okay. So then you still had questions at this point. You were in the world, floundering around like all of us, and then you had still, what caused you to come start asking more questions? You were out doing what you wanted to do. When did you realize that wasn't such a good idea?
Well, actually, before going to that church, I was just living in a world mm-hmm. where caught up in addictive behaviors.
Okay.
And I eventually found out that was not the way I wanted mm-hmm. to live. I had enough. I got to that point mm-hmm. where this ain't working. I'm headed toward really death.
Because I think maybe the topic of the show, if you're going to title it, would be change.
Yes.
And the changes, we've already talked about two changes you've made. You were in a church of some sort, decided you didn't want that, changed, jumped into the world, decided didn't like that, needed a change.
Yeah.
Was it hard to leave that when you left that United Church of Christ? Was
yes.
that a difficult change for you to make when you left? Did you walk away from it with any kind of regret, or do you feel like you were leaving something, or did you just kind of leave it and say, hey, good riddance?
Yeah, pretty much I would say that is the best description, because I did not have a real connection. Mm-hmm. Look, I was more focused on me and how life was treating me. I was self-consumed. Mm-hmm. And ever how I wanted people to notice me, and I did not want to listen to anyone else at the time.
Yeah.
And so just self-motivated, self-focused. Mm-hmm. And so it just took a quite a bit of time until I was about 30 years old, mm-hmm. when I finally said the life I was living is not the life that I want.
Yeah.
And I wanted to start doing things that were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started searching.
Yeah.
And that eventually led to the non-denominational, but denominational church, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just questions that...
Well, what kind of, you mentioned questions before. What kind of questions were you... Because what you said to me before the show was you were asking questions that you weren't really getting answers to. Because what I've encouraged the people out of Bethel is, if somebody's... I don't care who's standing in front of you talking, whether it's me or somebody else, you demand book, chapter, and verse for what they say.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't take what they say at face value. You demand truth. So what were you asking that you weren't getting answered?
Well, unfortunately, I can't remember all the questions.
Sure, I mean, it's been...
Yeah, it was like a weekly thing, and it'd be nice if I had kept that.
Sure.
Little emails, and but I do remember one specifically, and it was regarding homosexuality, and just the whole stance on it, and what the Bible really says, and having a clear understanding of that, because I know some people that chosen to live that lifestyle, and I was sent elsewhere. The pastor, I felt, wouldn't address these questions, and I just didn't feel right to be sent elsewhere for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that I felt that the relationship there was starting to wane, deteriorate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, did you have questions about baptism? Did you have questions about, like, personal responsibility, things we're supposed to be doing? Was it a faith, you know, because a lot of places teach, you know, it's faith, grace only, through faith only, which are contradictions, but they say that kind of thing. Were you questioning those kind of religious teachings, or was it just kind of the Bible in general? You had questions or kind of doubts or wondering about? Or because that, well, for me, when I came in, it was like, I mean, I didn't know the Old Testament from the New Testament. I couldn't find a book anywhere. I mean, there was zero. I had zero knowledge. And so for me, it was like curiosity. Well, let's see what's in there kind of thing. And I was kind of, like I told you before, I was kind of looking for a loophole. You know, there's, mm-hmm. got to be something here that I can walk away from, but it's been 28 years or so and I haven't found one yet. I'm not looking anymore because I don't think it's there. But where was your mindset when you started asking these questions? Were you just wanting to know more about the Bible? Were you doubting the Bible or doubting what you were, you know, that kind of the religious lifestyle in general? Or what kind of things were you, or were you doubting all those things?
Well, I think I was just questioning everything.
Okay.
It seems that I was just trying to understand, and I knew that I wanted to have a greater understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I just began to, I think, feel that I wasn't getting the answers, and I was beginning to feel that that was not the place for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started searching, not really at that moment looking for another church or the true church, but I wanted to find a group of people, Christians, to study the Bible.
Okay.
Because I really wanted to learn and grow.
Yeah. So is that, again, limited background, is finding a group of people who will sit down and be honestly study the Bible, is that a hard thing to find if you're asking the wrong... I mean, I don't know why you couldn't find... It doesn't make sense to me. You couldn't find a group of people to be willing to sit down with you and study and just be honest with the Word. Is that hard to find?
I think it is, unfortunately.
Okay.
That way I found it was someone suggested a social media website called Meetup.
Okay.
And found a group, and it met in Louisville, fortunately. Didn't find too many, but I went, and unbeknownst to me, he's a the evangelist. At the time, I didn't know that he was the evangelist, but it was just he and I met the first time, so we got to actually talk one-on-one, and it was interesting. It was on the Book of Revelation that what the topic was, yeah. But easy, I'm easy. Fine.
Yeah,
but I went every week for several months, and eventually he gave me a book called Muscle and Shovel.
Yeah. We need to talk about that. I read that book, and I don't have a copy of it. Phil Morris, who attends over at Easton, loaned me his copy of it, and I read it. And I need to get one of those. And Muscle and Shovel is the name of the book.
Yeah.
What's the, because it's a good book, but what's the premise of that book? What's going on in that book that helped you?
Well, this guy had, he was sort of like me. He was questioning everything. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to find loopholes, as you said. He would come back, the guy who was helping him along, his name is Randall. That was not his real name, but he called him Randall. And he was just kind of, he was well-versed in the Bible, and he would kind of encourage, challenge him, and...
True story. I mean, it's a true story.
Oh, yes.
It's not like historical fiction. It's an actual story about somebody's conversion.
But yes.
Yeah. And so, that's interesting. I've still got a copy of Dory Moyer's book, Mind Your King, on the table. I forgot to take it home. That's a great book, too, but I've talked enough about that one, but... that Muscle and a Shovel, if you're interested, I mean, it's probably on Kindle. I think this Mind Your King was on Kindle for... I think it was free last year at one point. Now you could get it pretty cheap, but that one I'm sure is available through lots of means.
Yeah, you can go online, and I think you can look at look on his website, Michael Shanks, I think has a website, and you can order off books. And
by the way, for those of you who are listening, sometimes this is kind of a diversion, but sometimes when people tune in before 9:30, they'll see us talking and can't hear anything and think there's something wrong with the sound. There's not. The show doesn't start till 9:30, and so when they get the cameras ready and get all that ready before we start. So if you tune in and can't hear us, wait till 9:30, and they'll turn the sound on. And so don't think it's broken or doesn't whatever. Or you can, if you go back later and listen to Gates, you can advance it 5 minutes or so, and it'll be.
Yeah, we checked, and we started the video at about 5 minutes prior to the audio broadcast. So if you just discovered the video, obviously you found the audio at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, just be aware that we do start the video in advance.
Yeah.
The reason we do that is allow people time to find us and get hooked up and make sure everything's going before we actually start airing.
So
they'll typically have to skip ahead a few minutes.
We'll rely on the listeners to tell other people who want to listen what that is.
Yep.
And if you want to call in, and by the way, we're about a minute behind, so if you call in, we may be moving on to something else, but the number is 812-365-9864, 812-365-9864. If you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about today, you can call in.
Or if you go to Facebook Live, you can comment on the live.
You can comment on Facebook Live, and that's real time, and Matt or Theron can tell us if you have a question. They'll tell us there's a question. Please... We want comments. We want input. We want people to be involved in this. I want this to be kind of a kitchen table type situation, just sitting down talking with people. And so that's where we are. So anyway, we were talking before that. We were talking about change and questions you were asking, and that you were given that book, Muscle and a Shovel. And I'm assuming you read it.
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, I really, it kind of cut me to the quick in some aspects about baptism and instrumental music. Those were probably two issues that were brought up in the book. And I say, is that really what the Bible says? And is that really true?
By the way, if you have questions about those, we've covered both of those topics on previous shows. We've done a show specifically about baptism, and a couple weeks ago we did one on instrumental music.
That was last week.
Was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was last week. So we can get those shows if you want them. So what you say you were cut to the quick, and so that when you read those things, you were like...
I was kind of concerned about, surely there is some sort of explanation that...
New background, anyway.
I know that...
When do you get wallpaper?
Because I was thinking that, and I didn't know the context and how to relate the word, but in Romans it says all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know Acts 22... 16.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at that.
Mark 16:16.
Yes.
Yeah, those are concerning verses for people that aren't familiar with how to respond to them.
Yeah.
So
but I presented those questions to Eric and came to the conclusion, well, if the Bible says it, And if the Bible, if I believe it to be true, then I need to follow it.
Okay. So that's a question of authority.
Yes.
That we've had to talk a lot about. Does this even matter? I mean, does it matter what music we use? Does it matter whether we're baptized? If our heart's right, you know, I got Jesus in my heart, does it matter how I'm baptized? Whether I'm sprinkled or dunked or poured or whatever, does it matter? Which comes back to a Bible authority thing.
Mm.
And so, which we spend a lot of time talking about at El Bethel and on here, because we have several examples, and I don't want to dominate this conversation. I want you to talk, but you go to Deuteronomy 4, too. It says, you don't add to the word, don't take away from it.
Yeah.
Proverbs 35 and 6 say the same thing. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 says the same thing. And when Jesus, you mentioned Jesus, what he said about himself, but you know, he even told the Pharisees, look, if you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. John 8, 31 and 32, you can know the truth. You'll know the truth, and truth will set you free if you abide in my words. Those kind of things should narrow our thinking about what the Bible says. But a lot of people, they say, well, we love God. What God loves us, what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
But so that's something else you kind of had to grapple with, I guess. Theron? Oh, Theron put his hand
up.
Hello. I'm in classroom.
There we go. Yeah, I tried to get in the shot a little bit. So, and to your point, though, about authority, Andrew, you can relate to this. All three of us were not lifers. We weren't raised in the church. We weren't grounded in the truth from the beginning. So we know what it's like to stand on the outside and go, what is this strange language they're talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about Bible authority, I wonder sometimes if people think, oh, they're going to be legalistic, right? Oh, yep. Talking Bible authority. But what are we really talking about when we talk about Bible authority? We are talking about God's written, expressed will to us.
Yeah.
So it's not about whether or not you agree with what my opinion is on what is written there. It's are you willing to conform with what God has told us?
Yeah. And let the Bible speak.
And let the Bible speak, because it is God's will.
Nice segue to
like on the T-shirt.
Please promote the show.
That concept, though, that was really every discussion we have with people, no matter their background, boils down to Bible authority.
Yes.
Every single topic boils down to Bible and how we view what we have in front of us. Is it God's inspired word? Is it going to last forever? Does it become outdated? Can we just jump wherever we want and pull verses out? Does it matter how all those that all boils down to Bible authority. Can we go to the Old Testament and justify what we do? That's Bible authority. And that with all those things that you had to figure out, I had to figure out. Everybody, I don't care if you're alive or not, you still got to come to the decision if you're going to follow God or not.
Yeah, and I've heard that the whole notion of, well, the Old Testament doesn't matter or matter as much.
Yeah.
And Jesus said himself, I did not come to destroy.
Well, I have come to. I was at a Bible study last night, in fact, at Ryan Cummings' house. Over in Shepherdsville.
Oh, cool.
Evan had ball practice, so I went. They had a study going from 6 until 1 o'clock this morning. He covered David as a foreshadowing of Christ. Wonderful study.
Cool.
Most of it in the Old Testament. And we spent time talking about the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago. If we don't understand the Old Testament, we can never fully understand the New Testament.
That's true.
And it's not that we can't. I became a Christian not knowing very much about the Old Testament. But as I study it more and you see all these connected dots, it just brings it to life. The genealogies mean so much. And when you study the root of Jesse, what does the root of Jesse mean? And all those things, it just comes to life.
Mm.
And so that's a detraction from what we're talking about this morning. But we've got to look at the whole Bible and understand what God has said to us and accept it as that or not. That's what it's either his word or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't pick and we can't cherry pick. It's not a fast food restaurant ordering situation. I want that in supersized and that small. Mm-hmm. I want that in extra large. We don't get to do that with his word. It's either his word or it is not. And everybody has to come. If we're going to say, well, it is, but you know, it doesn't matter anymore, I can't have a conversation. Because if it doesn't matter, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, and one thing that I don't always think about at the time, but if someone disagrees with me, the thing that I wish would come to mind always would be, well, you're not disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with God.
Right, yeah, right.
And which show me where it says that you're not disagreeing with God.
John Bingham made that comment at Al Bethel a couple weeks ago on a topic. He said, look, this isn't a disagreement with me or Scott or whoever. He said, the Bible says it. You agree with this or you don't. And we all have to come to grips with that. So then really that's where you were in this process of answering, you know, what this baptism thing or whatever it may have been. You had to come to grips with whether or not this was inspired and binding and mandatory, whatever, however you want to word that. So, okay, so we're now you've got your muscle and a shovel book and you've been cut to the quick. All right, then what happened?
Well, it was, I don't know if I mentioned the date, but hopefully I'll never forget it, because they have it on the directory underneath my description that I was baptized on December 17, 2016, where my truly life began for me. And I had to decide that, am I going to put other relationships, the potential of losing friends that I have built bonds with for years, be willing to give those up, be willing to not follow the ways that or agree with what family members think. It was sort of, I was just, we were talking before the show, where Matthew 10, it says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And those are just a couple of verses, and I was reading Matthew chapter 10 verses 37-38. I know a lot of people grasp with that well, I can't leave my family, I can't leave the people that I love. Those relationships are too important. I had to realize, okay, I asked Eric, okay, so you're basically saying if I'm not baptized, I'm going to go to hell. And I'm going to die in my sins. And he shook his head, yes.
Yes.
and that was a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And so
what had you been taught about baptism prior to?
Well, the interesting thing, I did not really have a strong grasp, but I was baptized prior to truly being baptized three times.
Oh, so do tell.
Yeah, that was, and that was weird. One, the sprinkling of as a baby.
Okay.
The second time was with that, it was actually at the UCC, the second time where we merged. I went to a pool and baptism was talked a little bit more, but I don't remember any really deep conversations and what came of it. I just felt moved, I guess, and some emotional response to something. And so I was immersed in a pool there. And then once again at the denominational church, whatever you want to phrase it.
The non-Baptist Baptist church you talked about earlier.
Yes, and went to another pool. And it was just the profession of faith, outward appearance of a changed life.
So why... With the previous baptism, why did they encourage you to be baptized again when you changed to this other church? Did they ask you? I mean, what was the purpose of, other than just to say, hey, this is...
I think it was my desire because I had been in living such a sinful way, doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I just felt that it was the right thing to do.
Okay.
A change in the way I was living. Okay. Just showing that, okay, I'm going to live for the Lord.
Yeah.
But it was not the biblical baptism that
so
is discussed.
We get to number four.
Yes.
And you mentioned Acts 22:16, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, verses that kind of gave you trouble. What was it about, though? Had you just not studied those before? Did not really been taught on those things? Because we can go, we're going to have to go look at them, make sure people know what they say. But what was it about those verses that kind of got under your skin?
Well, it was actually the verse in Romans where it talks about, and I don't know if it's Romans
4. Is it Romans
4? It says, just all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved.
Okay.
I think it's Romans 4, isn't it?
I don't have that one marked. I do have Romans 6, because that's one I go to a lot. But
yeah, I know what you're talking about. I was just trying to, but it's in Romans. It's unfortunately not coming to me at the time, well, but it says, if you just call on the name of the Lord, yeah, you will be saved.
Let me find one we can use. But so, I'm going to go over to Acts 22:16. Yeah, that was the first one you brought up earlier.
I found it. It's Romans 10:9.
Romans 10. What is that?
That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Okay.
And I think that was the verse that I was thinking about.
And so here's what John Bingham has been spending a lot of time talking about. That you don't use one verse to nuke another verse.
That's what I, yes.
There's got to be biblical balance. And somebody, I saw a quote, I got to give it to John. I think it might have been Dan Langford that said it. And he said that balance is the thing you see as you swing past it on the pendulum. You know, people overcorrect so much. And what John's talking and what Dan talks about is like kind of like we're driving. He said, when you're driving down the road, you don't make these radical changes. You just, you know, make gradual changes as you go, so you don't miss the balance. John talks a lot about not using one verse to nuke another verse.
Yeah.
So let's look at Acts 22:16 and what you just read and see what it says. And how do we balance? So we have to ask is what you just read in Romans all there is? Is that the end of it?
Yeah, I did not have an understanding of that. I thought that okay, that seals the deal. I don't have to.
Yeah.
Baptism is not.
Now, yeah, this is in Acts 22, if you don't know, this is Paul kind of recounting his conversion. He's going through it and then talking about, because we can go back in Acts 9 and look at what happened. But in 16, Acts 22:16, this is what he was told. He says, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So if you aren't baptized, and what this is the question people have to kind of come to grips with, if you aren't baptized, then what do you do with your sins, according to this verse? And what you were told, all you got to do is basically confess.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to? I don't know what people say happens to your sins at that point. If that's all there is,
it was pretty much a sinner's prayer, in a sense, I guess you could say.
Because this says, "Wash away your sins." In Acts 2:38, you mentioned that one too. Pretty straightforward. When these people were cut to the heart, they were also what you call cut to the quick. And they said, well, he's men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So as you had studied before, when you read through these verses, what did you do with them? If you were baptized three times previously. Were these verses just not talked about? Were they kind of glossed over? Did they just kind of missed that part of the Bible? I don't know. So
this was never talked about or focused in on. I remember the pastor in one of our last conversations that we had baptism is not talked enough about, but the proponent there was faith only.
Okay.
That faith only is what was needed. And of course, we know in James 2:24, faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm. So we've also done a show about faith and works. We'll get to that. We've got to do the top of the hour radio announcement thing. Matt, you want to do it?
Yeah, listen, Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcast from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Beautiful. Foggy beautiful. This morning. Pretty
very foggy.
Very Marengo, foggy. Indiana. So we're halfway through the show and probably not covered half of what we need to cover, but so we're in, baptism really wasn't stressed. So now that you were told, look, if you kind of like what Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, if you don't believe I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. So you were cut to the heart basically there. What did you do?
Well,
how did you react? Did you get mad? Did it hurt your feelings? Did you walk away for a while? I mean, how did you react to him saying that to you?
No, I said, well, then we, then I want to be baptized. It was really a split second decision because I want to do this right. I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
And I was, we left, we were meeting at a Meijer store, and I was kind of in a moment of sort of panic.
Okay.
Because I want to get baptized before something to happen, and someone tried to stop me and get my attention. I said, well, I've got a more important appointment.
That's great.
What you brought up though, a really good point though. You were immersed.
Yes.
Two times prior to.
Yes.
The fourth time.
Two times immersed.
He was sprinkled once as a baby.
Sprinkled
he was
once
immersed and immersed, he was immersed twice.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, we need to talk about why that wasn't good enough. Because I don't think people, I think we kind of glossed over it. You were immersed twice.
Yes.
Without the understanding of why, you didn't know why at the time, you didn't understand the purpose of baptism. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. I did not know that or understand that. And the whole process of confessing, baptism, faith, it's I don't have the correct, maybe the best words for it, but it's a process that it's not simple.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of factors involved. That's what I guess I'm getting at.
And so when you went in those other baptisms, then when you basically, what I guess we would say is you just got wet. I mean, you came up.
Yeah.
What you're saying is if you don't understand why you're going into baptism, there's really no point to it.
Yeah, I didn't understand the whole point and concept, and I think you mentioned Romans 6, that
which is
verse 3.
Which is a wonderful.
Yes. And there's other verses.
Here's
we can
why.
Go to.
Here's Romans 6 came up like three times. I ran across people that had been converted. And I said, and I just said, well, what? Why? They said, Romans 6 came out. He was studying. He was dating a girl, studied with her dad. And he said to him, won't you read these verses? And he read them. And he said, I realized that's not what I did. Now, we'll read them in a minute. I ran across another guy, came out of a denomination. I said, what happened? He said, Romans chapter 6. And it happened three times like that. So I thought, maybe I should go look more closely at Romans chapter 6.
And it just dawned on me that the way that the previous pastor had at the denominational or Baptist church, non-Baptist church, would say that this was just an illustration of, okay, you go down, kind of, this is the picture of you're dying to your old self, like Christ died, and then you raised up a new self. It was just a visual representation. It's not an actual salvation or whatever.
Okay. Well, let's read it so people know what we're talking about. We really, why don't we start, why don't you read 1 through... Let's start 1 through 4 to start with, and then we'll talk about what it says there.
What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life.
Okay. So that image of someone being buried as Christ was, we come back up out of baptism with this newness of life. Well, how does that happen? That way I think we go to Acts 22:16 again, you know, our sins are gone. They're washed away. And so we stand at that moment, we're standing before God, whole and pure and white and sinless and perfect in that regard. And that's what the newness of life comes from. So it says in verse 5, so if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer are enslaved to sin. For he who has died has been set free from sin. So that's what baptism does. We've been set free from sin. And so now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also ought to live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so for some reason, those guys read those verses and they realized that they hadn't done that. And that's what converted their hearts, was just reading those words. And so the issues I've had with people is, you know, maybe we'll show them what the Bible says about baptism, but they've already been baptized before, and they aren't willing to go back and reevaluate, what were you baptized for? And that's why it's important now, what I've learned, and I'm going to have to start doing with people, is I'm going to hand them a piece of paper and I'm going to ask them three questions. Are you saved? How were you saved? And those two will be enough. But have them write it out, fold it up, seal it up, and then study. Because what people do is they learn what baptism really means, and then they somehow twist it around and they've already been baptized, and, well, I'm okay because I was baptized. But they don't consider whether or not what they did at the time was worthy of salvation. And it's hard to get people to, that's one of those change things. It's hard to get people to go back and want to change because they feel like they're okay. And you didn't do that. For some reason, you were somebody that didn't say, well, I've already been baptized, I'm good.
Well, I wanted to do things the right way. Mm-hmm. And I felt as if I was getting answers. Mm-hmm. And if I had a question, I know that I could ask it. Mm-hmm. I'm never shy about asking questions.
Good. We shouldn't be.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. It was eighth grade, and we got our school yearbooks, and I think every teacher wrote my name multiple times and then a question mark after it, because I just would ask question after question after question after question.
That's great.
And so I just, that reminds me.
That's funny. Good.
So I'm not shy about questioning things.
That's pretty good.
And so.
So I guess the biggest, so what do you feel like would be the best way to reach out to people who maybe are where you were, or wondering, you know, how do we reach out to them? I'm not saying I've got all the answers. I'm not saying, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, hey, I'm Scott Mitchell and I've got a radio show and now a website, thanks to Theron, and I know everything, and you can come to me for all the answers, because you cannot, okay? You will fail miserably if you try that. And so what I want to be able to do, though, is go to people and try to help them find the truth. So what's the best approach to people? If you see somebody floundering, you think maybe you can help them, what's the best approach to somebody's in your position?
Well, I the person has to be willing. Mm-hmm. I know that this can't be forced on anybody. Mm-hmm. I would hope that they be open to a Bible study. Because I came through, and this is just my experience that I've shared, through a social gathering website, and social media is just so prevalent now. Mm-hmm. And most people use the internet, and so whether it be Facebook, Twitter, just indicating, hey, if you have questions, if you want to talk about issues and be interested in looking at what the Bible says, I think that is the way to go. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other ideas, but I can speak, it worked for me. Mm-hmm. But I was searching.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not searching nowadays because they think they're okay.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to be a part of it for whatever reason.
Yeah. So really just be watching people who are asking questions, really. Because Theron was different than... Theron just kind of picked up the Bible and was reading it.
Kind of, yeah.
You know,
I didn't have anybody to guide me through it. Which, I had mixed feelings about looking back. I mean, one advantage to that was I didn't have anybody trying to steer me down a certain path. I just opened it up and read it.
Yeah. It's interesting you said that, because that guy online, everybody, Kyle, what's his name? The Baptist preacher that left the Baptist and is now preaching.
Oh,
what he says, well, when he talks and he says, when you read these verses, if you are not coached,
yeah,
you can't misunderstand them.
Right. Well, right.
That's right. The way he puts it. So
right.
You weren't coached to misunderstand anything.
Right, right. I didn't have any real baggage. I only had a vague understanding of what the gospel was. So I just started reading it.
Okay.
And was like, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So.
Which goes to the heart again, because, again, the Word of God does two different things. It attracts people and it repels people.
Well, yeah.
And that's really all it, you know, those two things.
I know that there's a lot of people who have bad, when they hear church, it's got a bad, sour taste in one's mouth. They can have even personal issues with that. You know that many a times there's been stories all over the news.
And maybe justifiably so.
Yeah. News that where false preachers are out there.
Oh, right.
But scriptures talk about that. But I was just thinking about the Bereans. How they went and studied and making sure, like, okay, is this how, if I'm talking to you about scripture, you better be able to find it in scripture see, am I telling you the truth or am I not saying what it said in the word?
Right.
And if I'm not saying what it is in the word, then you need to correct me.
Yeah.
And if I'm not willing to be corrected, then run away from me.
Yeah, and that's what I've said that many. I mean, I don't want to be guilty of misrepresenting God's word to anybody. And that's why I ask, you know, demand that standard from people. What Acts said? Well, you mentioned Acts 17 verse 11 says, "Now these Jews were more noble minded, or more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if those things were so." And that's what we've got to do, which is what you did. When that guy said, "Yeah, if you don't get baptized, you're going to die in your sins," that had to hurt.
Well, it was a moment of anxiety. And until I got we were talking before the show, I felt like I was held under for an eternity.
Yeah.
It was like time suspended. And I look at the video, I was only down for a couple seconds. But I'm telling you, it was longer than a couple seconds.
Yeah.
I guess I had a little bit more washing off than needed to be done.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit dirty.
You need a thorough dunking.
Yes.
Souls were under the skin.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But I felt true emotion that day, and getting a little teary-eyed right now. But
I do that a lot. I'm a crier, but no.
Yeah, but I'm glad I can be emotional in the right way.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think when people talk a lot about emotion and religion, I think where emotion comes into play is after we're saved. The decision to be baptized, I don't think, should be an emotional decision. I think it should be based on understanding and truth and understand what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You can be emotional, you know. And then once you're cleansed, but if we use emotion as our kickstand, if you will, and just get really upset when people try to, you know, a lot of people get mad at me for whatever reason.
Right, right.
That's
right.
We should not be using emotion that way.
Yeah.
If people need to listen and understand this, I know I've got somebody backed in the corner when their only defense is to yell at me. Now, I don't back people in the corner on purpose. I don't want to do that. But when they start yelling, I know they don't have an argument or a discussion to have. They just want to get emotional. That's the wrong kind of emotion.
Yeah.
And so I say that about, so if I'm dealing with somebody's personality, I just get on the basketball court for a couple minutes. I know exactly who they are, but by how they react, and even that kind of thing. At least I probably can't now, because my right knee's not doing very well, but I couldn't do very what I used to do. But that idea of emotion, we do get it. You know, when I talk about when I talk about my older girls, I'm not really good at being daddy at a distance yet, because they're down at Western and you know, their way. I look at the pictures in the living room, and I see them, and I want to see them.
Right.
And everybody makes fun of me for crying a lot, and that's okay. I just do. I can't not. And so it's just one of those things. But we have to be careful where we throw emotion in this discussion.
Yes, very much so.
And so I'm glad you put it. You said I can be emotional now in the right way. I think that's that's a great way to put that.
But then when I change the subject, but and I don't think I am, but after that fact of knowing that what I knew, I had to change the way I was living, and it, I think you touched upon this on the where people will think now you're legalistic. I was had a discussion with a former pastor, and unfortunately didn't go too well, and but it was the right thing to do, at least to explain, look, this is where I'm going. And
what did he say?
Well, I've pretty much been brainwashed. It sounds like you're with an occult now.
Wow.
And
that's pretty emotional.
Well, I understand that I might not have been. I prayed a lot before having it, but I don't think that I had the best case presented. Mm-hmm. But the elder at the time said, even if you had the ability to answer every question in the best possible way, you may not have been able to do anything anyway.
Well, and that's when Jesus asked the question, when he was talking about David and Jesus, how can, you know, he said, how can he be his son if he's, Jesus asked that question. He knew they didn't know the answer. He knew they didn't want the answer. Isaiah was told to preach. God said, you're going to go preach to people so they cannot listen. But God wanted to give them a chance. And he did. And I'm fully convinced after studying Romans with Paul Earnhardt and people like that, God, if somebody wants to be saved, God's going to make sure he sends them somebody and they will be saved. We're going to talk to a lot of people who aren't in that position. When we talk about evangelism and people say, well, how many people are you baptizing? That's not evangelism. That's God's end of the stick. Well, how many people are you keeping? How many people baptized? How many stick? That's God's end of this. That's God's end of that thing. Evangelism is by inviting people to study, talking to people, being out talking about God. That's what we're to do.
Yeah.
And so when we find that person who does ask questions back, though, that's who we're. I don't care. I want people to question me. When I'm out, if somebody says, "Well, why do you think you can teach me anything?" That'd be a great question for somebody to ask me. I have a hard time getting people to engage. You know, and really want to know. And if they say, well, I think you're, if they would say to me, I think you're stupid for saying that, I could say, well, why do you think that? It's not going to make me mad. Why do you think I'm stupid?
Yeah.
That's fine with me. But we're going to run across a lot of people who don't want to know. So that I ran across a lady that I'm studying with. Her name's Betty down in Marengo. She had, at a yard sale, her daughter had brought books, and there was a New Testament in there. And I guess she was just going to get rid of a bunch of books. And the lady came up and said, how much is this? And Betty said, I didn't. She said, that's God's word. I'm not selling. You can just have that. Mm. And but she feels bad that she didn't do more with the opportunity.
Oh.
I said, Betty, I said, if she wants to know, you've planted a seed.
Right. Some people open it up and read it.
Yeah, and there said, I said, that's evangelism. And that lady may take that book home, put it on a shelf, and never read it. But Betty did what she could. And so when we find that kind of person like you who's asking, we've got to be willing to answer. We've got to be willing to, or get them somebody that can answer. I'm not going to know all the answers. I listened to Ryan Cummings last night. If you've never heard Ryan Cummings, he makes me feel like an idiot. He knows so much. But he's immersed himself so much in the Word for so long.
Yeah.
It's just who he is. And he doesn't mean to make me feel that way. He wouldn't even, Paul, you know, I've often said, why didn't God send somebody like that to El Bethel? You know, somebody have all the answers. And your wife, you know, sweet Becky, she goes, well, then Scott, you wouldn't have learned anything. Oh, great, Becky, thanks a lot. But, you know, that idea of looking for somebody with that attitude, that's what, you know, that questioner, we can't be afraid of questions. And so we've got to be willing to try to answer those. That's cool. I like the way, you know. You just kept questioning. I'm going to think of a question mark. So I'll just put a question mark on my phone by your phone number.
I should just wear that.
Yeah, just wear it.
That'll be my symbol.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Isn't that how we all figured out? We can't say, well, I already know. I've already heard that once. I read the Bible once.
Mm-hmm.
We got to keep asking. You got to keep asking. So with your family reactions or your friends, when you started making these changes, did you get some kickback?
Well, yeah. I think that some of the concern was the narrow-mindedness, again, going back to that legalistic, and I'm fine now, and hopefully I can just recall that Jesus was narrow-minded.
Mm-hmm.
He and is narrow-minded, because his word is narrowly focused.
Yeah.
Because it says that salvation, the gate is narrow, it's straight and narrow. Many will not find it.
Few there to find it.
Yep. Right. And so, well,
you know, that idea of legalism came up on this show with instrumental music.
Oh,
what Doy okay. Moore, the point Doy makes in that book, This Land in Front of That Mind Your King book. He says it's interesting that people call us legalistic because we don't want to have instrumental music, but they go to the law to try to justify.
Mm-hmm.
That's a funny pun.
Yes,
they call us legalistic when they go to the law to try to justify their position.
Right.
Which we showed last week is really not possible to do.
Right.
You just can't.
Right.
But you know, narrow-minded. John 14. I've used these verses a lot. I'm going to keep using John 14:15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 15:14. You are my friend if you do what I command you. John 8:31-32. Let me go back. I'll turn back to it and read it. But he did have a narrow-minded way about him. And Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, and are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, mm-hmm. we got to live in that word, and that's where Ryan Cummings has done. That's why he is where he is spiritually. Mm-hmm. He knows 1 and 2 Samuel so well; he can almost quote both books. He studied that. He just knows where. It's amazing. And am I headed that direction? I'm headed the right direction, but I'm not there yet. And he would say he's not there yet.
Wow.
And that's the attitude. We've got to keep asking. We've got to keep challenging ourselves. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep after that and keep pushing. And when we stop, that's when we become kind of arrogant, prideful. Right. And then that's when God, right. If you study Isaiah, and at one point in chapter 20, I think it's 25, it says God has his hand on his mountain, and at the same time he's got his foot on Moab.
mashing
them down in the manure. Moab's known for pride. They're prideful.
Yeah.
And that's what God squashed them for. But you were going to say something?
Well, I thought of this earlier, and I hope to try to get this in, and I apologize. It's your show, Scott. But
no, it's
well,
our show.
Because
you've got the shirt on. I don't.
It's got your name on it. But Andrew really reminded me of something that we've been fortunate enough to have mentioned in the church and studied before a little bit. And it's very biblical in its concept, but they have done studies of people that basically go into a church environment. And they've asked them, they've said, what keeps them there, right? And the bottom line is, not just from an earthly standpoint, when they've done surveys, folks that join in a church environment and break the old relationships and form new ones, statistically, those are the ones that stay. Overwhelmingly, they're the ones that stay.
They break the
people
old relationships.
People who break the relationships from their old lifestyle and build new relationships based on their new lifestyle, they're the ones that stay. The people that try to maintain the old relationships and stay connected almost always go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of that, Andrew, because you were talking about these, you know, the tension it created, but I mean, I think it's a very biblical concept because you step into a very different life, right, when you become a Christian. And I think it's important to understand. I think it's important for people, because I think a lot of people fall prey to this. And they'll make the argument, I'm sure, that, well, if I'm not connected to these people, I can't evangelize to them. Well, yes, you need to have an avenue of communication. But if you're just still hanging out with them because you want to hang out with them, and you're in that lifestyle, but you're saying, well, I'm not tempted by it or whatever. No, more often than not, you're going to go back into it if you don't walk away from it. Mm-hmm. And that's tough, right? Because you may still care about those people. And you may want to reach out to them. And it doesn't mean you have to cut all ties. But if you don't change those relationships, more often than not, you're going to go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why we lose people to that. Yeah. That's why I was wanted to bring
it
up.
Well, that's good. But so you were legalistic. what other kind of, I mean, did you have family issues or just the people you were, that pastor, of course, told you you're brainwashed?
Well, so,
calling a pastor, I'd probably disagree with the term, but that's
I know that's another conversation, which is a good conversation to have
on authority. We'll save that one for another discussion.
I wanted to be able to also tell the people why I was leaving.
Yeah.
And that was really not, I wanted to either leave a letter or explain myself as to, okay, this is why I'm leaving this church and why I feel as if I'm going and know the truth now.
Mm-hmm.
And so family will ask me to do things with, or say, hey, why don't you come and do these events? They belong to a church that has a fellowship hall or a gymnasium. This goes back to authority or events that biblical or money that is collected by a church is not authorized by a Bible.
Which goes back to Bible authority, like you just said. That's another discussion we need to have.
Yeah, but I can't think of really any other terms right now besides just the whole type of concern that family had for me was, oh, you're going to be living as like a Pharisee. Oh. Having that mindset of you're going to be too strict where there can be some leniency or should be some leniency.
Goes back to authority.
Yeah. most of it is for authority. So, And forgive me because this, I want to get this in.
Oh, please.
Just, I think what helps me now and maybe help someone else, since I was converted, I have a one-on-one Bible study. Fortunately enough, it's with the preacher at Taylorsville Road, Eric Parker. And he asked me, where would you like to start? I said, well, since I'm at the beginning of this new life, I want to start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we started at Genesis, and now we've studied all the way up. Now we're in Deuteronomy.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
So I'm still very much a learner. I still very much don't have all the answers. I realize that. I have been, okay, yeah, that pride, I was told that I was, especially in the meeting with that pastor when we were having to sit down, they felt that I was, it was actually a pastor and associate pastor. I didn't want to exclude that part of the story, that I had that pridefulness and arrogance, and so that's another thing that I know we have to fight against or watch ourselves with, which is one of the things that change can be difficult, especially if someone is full of pride.
And we, you know, we, and I guess I've probably been guilty. I don't. People get I'll invite somebody to study, and they will say things like, "Well, you think you're the only one's going to heaven?" I've never said that. I'm not in the position to make that decision. But they get offended that we ask them to study.
Oh yes, yeah.
Because they think we know more, we're better. I don't ever want to give that. I just want to study. I could be wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. That's fine with me. I'll change. But make me the same deal, you know, kind of thing. I'm not, if I'm wrong, I'm willing. If you don't believe I've changed, look at you. I wish I had a trail of all the stuff I've dropped out of my life in the past 20, and I'm still dropping, you know, as we learn. And that's what we're talking about things this morning maybe people haven't really thought about that much. But if they listen to this and they realize they've got something in their life they need to drop and add something, you know, drop it. And add the truth in and move on, and you'll learn more and you'll drop something else. I'm still dropping things out of my life that shouldn't be there. I'm not where I need to be. I've added, you know, last year and a half of life, added a lot of good because I've been forced to study more than I ever have before, but I've still got things I'm getting rid of. I've still got problems with probably a little bit of pride. I certainly have a little bit of frustration and anger left in me. I've got things I've still got to keep moving out. We don't ever end up, it's not like we get to this spot where we're finished. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact that you are still moving, that you will keep asking questions and keep learning keep teaching.
Yeah, the one thing you said made me think about in that last meeting with those pastors, they asked, are we saved? They asked, they wanted to know, are we saved? And I said, well, I think something to the effect of, well, what's the Bible say? Or I can't say, you have to look at scripture, something to that effect. I didn't want to say that at the time, unfortunately, no, you're not. I'm saying what scriptures say.
But get them to look at it honestly. That's, yeah. If they're willing to do that, what did they say?
Well, when it comes down to it, they just disagreed with my viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And I know that my motivation may not have been the most 100% focused on glorifying God at that moment, because I was still, I know, looking back now, I think I was angry that for so long I was, and that was my part, that I was being told or taught incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And again, I need to look at also, people growing up are brought up in a certain way, and they're told certain things, and it's embedded in them. I need to be reminded that they may have a hard time coming out of something. Mm-hmm. They may have a hard time grasping, well, I need to make a change, or I don't know if I can understand or grasp or change my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And surely my parents were not wrong, because that whole thinking of, and that makes me think of passage in Luke, about, okay, my parents were so good, my family were so good, are you telling me that my parents, my grandparents, my friends, they went to church, they're in hell?
Yeah.
And I know that could be, because I had great grandparents. Mm-hmm. And my parents are very religious. Mm-hmm. And they would not think that they would ever be hellbound. Mm-hmm. And that could be, I'm sure, something very difficult to grasp.
So I don't know, probably the best response I've been taught to that is that God's going to judge them on their heart, and that's but no matter where they ended up, where would they want you?
Yes, I know. That
exactly.
And
exactly.
That it was talked about.
Regardless, we don't. Yeah. We're not in a position to decide for them.
But where do they want you? About it, right?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And so I think the answer would be they want you in a safe place.
Yeah, and in the Muscle and Shovel, he comes across, and he was concerned about family situation too.
Yeah.
And he came across like, well, your family would want you.
Right.
Because that's what happened in Luke, in the rich man and Lazarus. Mm-hmm. He was concerned for his family, even though he was in torment.
Yeah,
he was wanting
but
his family.
But he cared about their destination and what would happen to them. So
interesting.
People get this feeling somehow that if they turn to the gospel and believe what it says, and that seems to condemn, you know, family members that have passed on, like they are condemning them. Mm-hmm. And to your point, it's we just have to put it in God's hands. There's no other answer than it's in God's hands. Mm-hmm. We hope for the best, but the best thing we can do is what we can do given God's word and his instructions for us, and just trust him that we can trust his word.
You know, and I know we're running over, but I had a discussion at El Bethel with a guy who said he got upset and said, you're telling me you have to be baptized to be saved. I said, I'm not telling you anything. What does the Bible say? Same thing you said. He said, I was holding a guy on the battlefield that had been blown in half and wanted to be a Christian. I couldn't tell him he couldn't be a Christian. I said, it's not your job to tell him. I said, but what do you know that you need to do right now?
Right.
What do you know? I said, God's going to judge everybody on their own merits, whatever that is. I don't know how God's going to make those decisions. But if we know to do something and we choose not to do it, we're putting ourselves exactly where those people don't want us. Mm-hmm. And we've got to help people understand those things. But anyway, we probably should stop. Or I've got to get to Louisville.
CD's an hour and 20 minutes, brother.
But
Sean said we can go as long as we need to.
Yeah, the whole concept of, you judging me, that's...
And I'm, that I'm comes not, up. I don't want to judge anybody. It's not my job, but the Bible, what the question comes down to, the Bible says something, do you believe it or not?
Yeah.
Is it God's inspired word? Like 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is inspired. Is it or not? If it is, we have no business meddling with it. We read it, and we do what it says.
Yeah.
If it's not, I'm going fishing. I'm wasting my time. But Andrew, thanks for coming over. I know it's a long way, and I appreciate your time very much.
Oh, I enjoyed it immensely.
Aaron, thank you for the time. Matt,
thank you
for being here. Evan, been out of shop most of the time. We got to go to Louisville. In fact, I think all of us are heading back to Louisville now because my daughter's playing a ball game over there.
Well,
but that's okay. We'll just caravan. I don't even know what school. I got to text my wife and see what school she's playing at. Listen, folks, if you're listening to this and you have questions, you have concerns, call. I mean, come see me at El Bethel. We meet at 9:30 for Bible study on Sundays and 10:30 for worship, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. If you show up and you have questions, I don't have to preach the sermon I've got. We'll talk about what it needs to be talked about to the best of my ability. If you don't like me, I get you in contact with somebody who's, I know a lot of people who are better Bible students than I am and know more than I do. I'm not afraid to say that. I just want to help people. I just want to help people. And if that's getting them to somebody else, I'll do it. Thank you. Please, I'm going to ask you to do this as I always do. Pick up your Bible and read it and simply let it speak to you. That's as simple as it gets, folks. I love everybody. If you have questions, again, my number, we're getting ready to leave here, is 812-620-4034. Call me. I'll be on the road for a while getting to Louisville. I'll be glad to talk to you. And we can get together and talk. We'll do a meetup somewhere. There's not a lot of places in Crawford County to do that. Carefree, I guess.
At the truck stop.
But anyway, appreciate everybody. Love all of you. Again, let the Bible speak, and it'll do you a lot of good. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for listening, folks. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 on your FM dial. Broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana. The podcast from today's broadcast should be available here shortly over the weekend here on letthebiblespeak.faith. We also have CDs. Thankfully, Theron is done with his work marathon, at least for now. So hopefully Priscilla can start making more CDs again. We've got some more to distribute. So we can
double-sided.
Send CDs, double-sided even. So we can make CDs. The podcast is available. Of course, you can find us on Facebook Live. You just search under Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak, and you can find a video of this morning's broadcast. And we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for dialing in.